Okay. We were teaching on the kingdom of God, and I want to continue today on the kingdom of God because of the mentality. We said, okay, this month of August, we'll do the kingdom of God. And it seemed the more you go into it, the more you understand. You just understand so much more about God's kingdom. And sometimes we're not doing the right thing we're supposed to do because we don't understand. You know, if we don't know, right? So we looked at Luke 4:43, which says, if you want to put that, Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God, Jesus said, to the other city also, because this is the purpose that I was sent to. Do you remember that? I said that last week. That's the purpose that Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God. Okay? And the next scripture we looked at was Acts 1, verse 3, which says, for a period of 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus spoke of the thing concerning the kingdom of God. So obviously, he was concerned about the kingdom of God. And Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. How many knows that? So we're really, what do you call that, people who come from another planet? We're really alien, something like that in this world. You have to understand that. So we need the book. We need the rules. We need to understand what it's all about. And then we'll have a better vision, better purpose. Okay? So Jesus says he came to do that. The kingdom of God is not a future reality. It is a presence. It exists now. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus said. Since he showed up, it's at hand. Okay. Matthew 12, verse 28. Jesus says, if I cast out demon, wrong page. But anyway, that's what I was preaching on. Now I'm at the right page. I was just one page off. Sorry about that. All right. The kingdom of God is the only message that Jesus preached. Jesus never preached about prosperity. He never preached about healing. He just healed the sick. He never preached about demon, casting out demon. He just did it. He never preached about different subject. Even he didn't preach about the cross. He didn't preach about him dying on the cross. He told them he was going to do it, but he only preached on the kingdom of God. That was his purpose. And you know, our mindset has to change also so that we can have a different purpose. If you were to take a course in theology, I heard that from somebody. And you go to university. Anybody ever took a course on theology here? You do. Did they teach on the kingdom of God? Did they have session on the kingdom of God? So theology, study of God, basically, they don't even teach that Jesus came to establish his kingdom. Let's talk about kingdom. What does it mean? Whatever. How does it exist? How does it work? They don't even talk about it. And even the church, most of the church don't really talk about the kingdom of God. It's important because it defines where you're going. It defines who you are. And it defines what you're going to do. So that's what Jesus came to do. The Bible is not a religious book. And it's a testament. New Testament, the Old Testament. Another word for testament is contract. Another word for contract is covenant. That's not a religious book. It's a book that has different things about the contract that God established on this earth. So the first thing that it's all about, remember we talked about the king, the kingdom, and the keys.
We established about the king.
Kingdom doesn't work like the United States. They have a president. Kingdom has a king. Who's the king? Jesus. Kingdom doesn't work like Canada. We have a prime minister. Okay, these are people in office. Kingdom is not like that. There's a king, and he has to be worshipped. The King of Kings, we call him, and the King of Kings. That's his name.
Great.
How many knows about the royal family? If you're a Christian here today, you probably look at your neighbor and say, I'm part of the royal family. Come on, you're part of that royal family. Because that's the family of God, right? God established his kingdom. You came into that place because confessing Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, and you said, yes, you entered into the kingdom of God. You've entered, and you're a brother and you're a sister. You're part of the family. How many knows if you want a big news, you put a wedding that is, a royal wedding. We had one not that long ago, a year or so. And now they have a baby. And, you know, it's royal news. You know what I mean? Remember, those who are a little bit older, about Princess Diana? She's running over here. She's running over there. It's all over the news. They have paparazzi all over the place trying to take picture of the royal family. Is somebody trying to take a picture? Probably not. But as we get into the kingdom of God, it's different. You realize that you are part of the royal family. It's a new kingdom established on earth, and you're part of it, right? To understand kingdom thinking, you must understand the Bible. About government, kingdom rules by a king. Okay, any government, a kingdom. Number five, about that's a big word for me. Colonization project. Right? I'm going to understand that. Okay. Okay. Colonization is only an extension of the king's distant territory. Okay, let me explain that, because if I read it. Okay. When a king wants to establish, go bigger with his kingdom. Okay? What he does, he sends some men, they take over a country. When they take over a country, they bring their people there. When the people comes in, they bring something. They colonize that people. You know, they colonize. Now, we don't see that now, because we don't think kingdom. It's a little bit far in the past. But this book never grows old. I don't even have it here. It's over there. But I get it. Thank you. It never grows old. Okay. Now, in 1534, now I could be wrong the date, a year or two or whatever. Okay? Don't pick on my personal statement, but pick on the whole of the message. Jacques Cartier came to Canada with three boats or something like that. And they landed someplace, I don't remember my history, but they landed someplace and they took a post. And I don't know what was in it, if it was a pair of pants or a flag or whatever, and they stuck it in the ground and they said, we take possession of this land for our king in France. Okay, that's history. Now, Canada was habitated by Indian or native. So the stronger always take over and colonize, because they are strong, they bring their people, they bring the language, they bring the gun, whatever. So the French people took over more or less Canada
the native, and they establish, they colonize Canada. You have to understand that because that's your life. That's who you are. Now, that lasted for a while. Then the English came, and I'm not sure about the year, and they had this big battle on Les Plaines d'Abraham, if you know the name. And the English won, took over. Now, what happened? It changed from the French, from the native to the French, and from the English. That's why now we're here in Ontario, and we speak English, and everything. Everybody understands. English have colonized. They're taking over. They're the strong one. And now we speak English. We have different nationality that comes, and we're trying to convert them. How many knows this? So many nationalities. And they come over, whether they're Indian, bless the Indian God, the Indian from Hindu, from India, or whether they are German, and they settle in communauté. How many understand that? Because in communauté, like I was last week in Bramley, Brampton, and they call it Bangladesh because there's so many Indians. Yeah? That's right. I didn't know that. Everywhere you look, it's got a store with all kind of writing in Indian and all that stuff, and it's all over. So it's not bad. People come, gather together, and they colonize. Meaning, after there's so much of them, then they're going to elect somebody in politics in that area, which is an Indian guy. And then they go on to the government, and they're trying to change that community. And here you may have the Chinese, when they know it's Chinatown. In every big city, there's a Chinatown. And it's all good. I'm just explaining to you that people come, and you can't take the colony out of the people. People come, and that's who they are, so they want to expand that's what they are. How many knows about the Greeks? You know, how many watched that Greek wedding? My big fat. Is it how you call it? I mean, the Greek remain Greek. They come over here. You cannot take Greece out of the Greek. They eat, they talk about food, about houses, about family, and it's all Greek to us, right? Because that's who they are. So you can't. So when they come to Canada from another country, they want to gather together, they want to expand, and they want to have store and business and fellowship. And that's all normal because the people are of the same feather flocks together. Is that how they say it? So, and that's good. So are we people from the same feather? Are we going to flock together? You know, because if we don't flock together, this thing is not growing. The kingdom of God is not growing because I'm over here and you're over there and whatever happened, right? But anyway, I'm going out of my note. So God's will was to extend his kingdom on earth, to make earth a colony of heaven. You understand that? So God said one day to heaven, he said to Jesus, and they were talking, let's go to earth. Let's bring the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we talked about Matthew 6, I believe. And we'll take that kingdom in heaven. We'll bring it down to earth. Okay, but we need people. That's where you come in. You are a citizen of where? Heaven. You think different, or you're supposed to. You're supposed to think kingdom mind. You're supposed to think biblically because this is your book. So he's sending you on this earth. One day you get saved and you get on fire for God.
You don't know that. But God has a plan. He doesn't want you to be part of his army, but he wants you to be part of the kingdom of God on this earth. Because you think different. You think a little bit more different than the next guy. Not that the next guy is bad, but the next guy maybe doesn't know God. Maybe the next guy, he's caught up in problem, but you're caught up in God. When you're caught up in God, you say, God, okay, I understand now. You have a place for me in this earth. And it's to be in this kingdom. And it's to work with my brothers and my center, because we got to colonize Trenton. It's not going to happen by itself. And you know, once we colonize Trenton, then we have to go bigger. We're going to colonize the area. Yeah, why don't we go right down to Picton and we go right down to Marmara or whatever. I mean, the kingdom of God cannot stop. Our vision has to be so big that when I say my vision, you're all going to laugh. I said, the pastor is crazy. It's true. God's vision is the whole herd. And he's going to use us. He's going to use another church here. He's going to use another people there to bring heaven unto earth. So if somebody asks you, does God have a call over my life, over your life? You can say, yeah. I'm here to bring God's kingdom upon the earth. My dad is, I am, my kids. Now, yesterday we were beside the pool. When you have a pool, you get all your kids all of a sudden, right? And we were talking about, Nathan was there. Travis was there. I was there, my wife and all the. And when we get together, we talk about God. And you know, we bring different things. We're not quite all things the same. But you know, we bring it. And I look at Nathan and say, he's got a different angle to this guy. You know, I mean, he's got 70 kids right now, 130 people. He only started 2-3 years ago, and things are moving really fast and good. He thinks, and and Travis, he's involved in the kingdom of God. So we talk about that. And Eric was there, sitting there. He said he was laughing. Right? I never seen people do this, right? They're just talking about God. So the thing is, we got a hold of the kingdom of God. Then our kids get a hold of the kingdom of God. And it changed things. Right? It changed things in Peterborough. It changed things. And then our grandchildren get a hold of the kingdom of God. And when they get a hold of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God grows and grows. Because it goes on. It doesn't. But most of the time, it will try to cut right after you. How many people you're here, you come from another country. You were born into another country. Let me see your hand. So, 1, 2. Okay, so remember a couple of weeks ago, we prayed for the lady from Ukraine. She was standing here, I believe. Her daughter was standing here. Do you remember? And then the granddaughter was standing here. So what you had is the mother was born there. Did you see her love for the Ukraine? The daughter stood here kind of, I don't know if I should be here, because she wasn't born there. But this is her nationality, so that's okay. But the granddaughter, I mean, she's small and she stands there. Doesn't know what's happening. That's what I'm saying to you is the kingdom of God cannot operate like that. It has to grow. To grow from you, your kids, the people around you. So the church mentality that we're going to all grow all together and nobody else is going to come in and all the young people, that is not even close to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has to expand. Do you agree with me? Do you want the kingdom of God to expand in your life? Then we have to look at it and understand it and say, why am I here? I'm here to be part of the kingdom of God. And someplace, I'm going to fit. But if I'm no place, then you're not going to fit no place. So let's see. God's intention was to bring an invisible kingdom into a visible world. Kingdom of heaven, can't see it, but bring it into a visible world. And who's visible? You are. Some of you are smiling. I can see you smile. You're visible. Other people, you're not smiling. I don't see your smile, but you're visible. You're smiling, right? So the kingdom of God has to go into our life. Okay, let me go. So all kingdoms are manifest themselves by culture. Do you know the French culture was implanted in me? You got a French name, Larry, yeah? But the French culture was not implanted into you. What's a label, right? Label. But it's, maybe his father, maybe his grandfather, I don't know. See, when I was 18, I moved to Montreal. When I moved to Montreal, I decided to go in the police force. I was going to be the best cop in town. So I went for my test, and guess what? I failed big time. He said, we don't need you. So I said, okay, well, I just kind of shook the dust off my feet and everything and tried again. Same thing. Then I said, okay, I'll try a third time. You got to be persistent, right? They didn't really want me there, period. But I didn't know. So I came to Ontario to learn English because I couldn't speak French. I couldn't speak English. So I came here, met my wife, and then I said, no, I don't think it's for me, right? I'm too soft. I'm not really the guy to be a cop, right? Anyway, we got married, and we got saved, and now we understand what the will of God is for our life. God has a different place, different time. I was trying something. I wanted to be somebody, right? Part of a kingdom force, but it didn't work. So, how many wants to go to heaven? Okay, let me put that way. That's your goal? It's already signed in, right? You already signed in? Your name is in the book? Awesome. You're going. But until you're going, you stay here and work in that kingdom that God has prepared. Because what? As you change the kingdom on this earth, you will be changing the kingdom up in heaven. Because the people that will come to Christ, because they confess Him as Lord and Savior, and say, I'm tired of going nowhere. I want to follow the plan of God. The plan of God is come into the kingdom. Come in Christ, and then Christ will begin to form you and establish you somewhere doing something for the kingdom of God. He's got a plan. Don't say, I don't know the plan of God. I'm telling you today, God wants you to be part of His kingdom, and you'll fit someplace. The culture is not in the land, it's in the people. I put some note there because I will lose myself here. When the people came from France to Canada, they brought their meal. This is how you cook food. When the German came to Canada, you probably make some German meal, right? Still? You know? No, but you are, I suppose, yes. Okay. Well, my wife is not French. Well, she's French, but she just don't speak it. But anyway, the Jamaican came to Canada, and they have a Jamaican restaurant. They have a Chinese restaurant here because people bring their culture, their food, mostly food. You know, if you can tell Dutch people, you go there, and they have a spread on the table, it's Dutch, whatever they do, whatever, and And you know what? Because it's in your culture. You bring that. No, God said that he will set a table in the presence of his enemy. What kind of food you're going to have there? Probably what you were raised to, what you like. Now, I had to give up my tradition. I had to give up my French tradition because it was in a bad spot in our marriage. You know, because, you know, I wanted her to cook that way. That's what I was used to, do things this way because in the background. So when you come to Canada, I come to Ontario, I married an English woman, then my tradition has to change. We got to become two, become one, right? So I begin to, because it wasn't the way. That's why when somebody move in from another country, eventually the best thing to do is to become a Canadian. You know, sure, you can eat a little bit of food like you used to eat before, but you have to eventually give it up. That's why as a believer here, when you come into the kingdom of God, there's a few things you have to give up. But you like it. Oh, it's good. I'm used to it. You know, this is how I treat ladies, or this is what I do, or blah, blah, blah. And it's not really a good culture for the kingdom of God. So you have to say, I got to give that up. That's in the way of my life. That's in the way of my relationship with God. You know, then the kingdom of God grows into your life. Because you're looking at it and say, I can't have that. You read God's word, and then you realize, no, that's not really acceptable, right? Whosoever is the strongest culture dominate the area. Is the world culture stronger than the church culture? Think about it. In Trenton. I know nobody wants to say anything in case you're wrong and you look economy, right? Is the world culture stronger than the church culture? I believe it is. But that's what God has sent us to do. Change the culture of this city. Because we are citizens from heaven. We understand the book. Jesus told his disciples, to you, it is given the mystery, because they were talking about parable. To you it is given. You should understand what I'm talking about. But the other people don't understand. The people out in the world do not understand church thing. They don't. Because they weren't blamed. They weren't raised, right? So why are you here? Why are you here? Learn about heaven. We're here to establish the kingdom of God. Okay, tell that to your neighbor. I'm here. Tell that to your mother-in-law. I'm here to establish the kingdom of God. And this is our mindset, to change things. You know, there's many ways you can change things. You can take a gun and go and say, you better change, or you know what I'm going to do. And that's not really the way to do it. But you can either pray for them, be an example to them, and say, yes, you know, God has something better for you. The Bible says that people will run to the kingdom. They'll run if they hear what the kingdom is all about. Okay, we were sent to her to establish the kingdom of God. Our generation, our children's generation, and our grandchildren's generation. And if you see your grandchildren, that's great. Okay. You know what Lord means? When we say Jesus is Lord? Lord means... In Hebrew, Adonai. That's what it means. And Lord means, in English, owner. And one time I preached on English people. I'm not against it. Nobody understand me. But English, French, they went and started colony because they wanted to extend their kingdom in Cuba. The Spanish went there. The French went into Haiti. Is it Haiti? Yes. And other people all over the place. Big nation wanted to extend their kingdom. So they sent people here and there, brought their people to change. And people became English, or they became French, or they became Spanish, whatever. Okay? So they were sent to change. And they used to use the name Lord. So when we say Jesus is my Lord, what does that mean? Jesus is my owner. If you're really serious, Jesus owns you because of your free will. You said, yes, I want you to be my Lord. I mean, my owner. That means there's going to be a transfer of will there to him. And I'm not talking to you about the transfer of will in the fact like if I ask Steve, can you help me tomorrow? He said, what do you say?
Okay.
And Steve tomorrow called me and says, well, I prayed about that, but I don't think so. I think I'll stay home and do something else. Okay, now he's changed his mind, right? He's changed his will. And he should say, I told you I was going to be there. Lord, I'm going to be there. Okay, because you can say, I'm talking about when you move to another city, you better pray about that. Find out from the Lord, your owner, if that's okay. Or if you're going to marry this man or this woman, you better ask God, is this okay? Is that okay? Or is that a big mistake in my life? Whatever. So we say, God is my Lord. That means he's my boss. We go to him. And major decision, different step, you have to ask him. And you understand that. So we have to establish that. I'm going to finish with this. I marked that revival is exploding of God, is the explosion of God's culture. Revival is an explosion of God's culture, meaning you get a group of people in here and they desire the same thing, they pray for the same thing, they talk about the same thing, and what happened is one day something began to happen. There's an explosion of the desire that you have, and all of a sudden, God's culture come in a mighty way, okay? So, do we want to colonize Trenton? Do we want to colonize Trenton? Are we going to colonize Trenton? Are you in it? Yes, maybe. No. And you guys, you live in BC, well, you got a mandate to colonize BC. Right? You got to go back there, and this man is a pastor, and colonize wherever city you live and say the kingdom of God is at hand. God has sent me to declare his goodness. I got to walk differently. I'm an ambassador. You know, that mentality, I'm just a poor old worm, is not acceptable. God doesn't need worm. He needs an ambassador, all right? And that's just because of the way you feel. And so let's canalize, strengthen, colonize. Okay. Bringing the culture of heaven here into our city. Do you understand that God needs you? God needs you a lot more. And you know, sometimes we talk about sin. You know what sin is? And I don't want to dwell on them. Yes, sin is walking in the other culture, the culture of the world, which says, oh, that's, everybody's doing it. That's okay. That's the culture of the world. So when you come to church, it should not be, well, everybody might be doing it, but God's word says no. We're going to get married, and then we'll be okay. But people now, so taking the culture of this world, and it was going to try to creep into the church, you know, it's not because it's a sin, it's because it's not who we are. We're different. We have a culture of the kingdom, and we look at this and we say, this is what God means. And we cherish this, and we grow, and our lives change, our kids change, and that's how the kids going to change. It's not by taking them to church, but by seeing the kingdom of God in you. And then they'll say, well, my daddy and my mommy, they always saw, you always saw us going to church. And, you know, we got beat up and we got all kinds of, you know, church can be rough sometimes, right? And they understood that, hey, if you want to get beat up, you're going to be tough after, right? You understand after. And we were always involved doing things and all that stuff. That was part of our life. So now they're doing it. They're doing it because it's part of their life. You can't take the kingdom out of them because it was implanted in them. Kingdom of heaven. And my prayer, if we can help, and my wife's prayer too, is that the grandkids understand about the kingdom and begin to be men and women after God's own heart. You're awful quiet in here today. I don't even hear amen or nothing. Are you listening to me? So which kingdom are you part of it? Kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God? Are you going to change the civilization in this town, or the civilization in this town is going to change you? These are very good questions. This is who I am. This is God what made me to be. And I'm not going to be the same. Right? Never. I've been there. I've done that. Don't want to do it again. I'd be stupid to go back there. Good, let's stand. It's early, but did you get the message? What's the message? The kingdom of God. What else? Colonize, strengthen. What else? Spread the word. What else? Start a Chick-fil-A. Or maybe I should tell you about this Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A is a restaurant that a Christian man started in the state. I don't know which state. I think it could be Charlotte, whatever. And he's got a few now. And what he started was a restaurant that served fast food, but with godly principle. All the waiter, waitress are born-again Christian. Anybody that goes there basically are treated like a king. Isn't that what you are? People want to be treated like a king. You don't want to be treated like garbage when you go to the store. You want to be treated nicely, right? So what they do is, my son went there and he said, oh, we came here for breakfast and lunch is served. Oh, well, don't worry about it. We'll do it. We'll do everything you want. You're the boss. And then they pray at the table after the waiter leave. They pray for them, anything you want, and like you're treated like somebody. They're not open on Sunday because they figure, well, Sunday we'll leave it for the Lord. And you know, all I'm saying is they make a difference in the restaurant business. Because of the standard, everybody, this is what you do. You don't do this, you do this. And, you know, you treat people right when they come in and when they sit down and what can I do? And you know what? The kingdom of God has to operate like Chick-fil-A. Because they don't know. They come in here, they see you, and maybe you're grouchy that day, and it's a bad impression. Whether you're in the cafe or whether you're upstairs with the kids, whatever. I went there today in the kids, in the nursery. This place was like a beehive. These people are, boy, they're going to be tired after. Beehive. Anyway, so we want to be a Chick-fil-A culture. I didn't say it. You said it. All right. Well, let's stand. Now, we all have part to play in the kingdom of God. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're a child, whether you just came in here for a visit, or whether you've been here since we start. Okay? Kingdom of God has to grow unheard. That's our job. We can't let that job for other people out there. God has called us to start this church, you know, to raise people that will understand kingdom mentality. And kingdom mentality people are dead. They don't even get offended. They're just kind of dead to a lot of stuff. But they're alive unto God. Is that you? Are we alive unto God? Raise your hand. I am alive unto God. I am alive unto God. I'm alive to the kingdom of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you came in here today and you don't even know what I'm talking about. You just kind of came in maybe by mistake, or you thought there was a washroom at the back or something. And you stand there and you say, what is he talking about? I don't understand what he's talking about. But it could mean something in my life. And you know what? God doesn't make mistakes. If you came in here just for a visit to the washroom, maybe he's calling your name. I mean, he could have given you all kinds of washroom, but not all kinds of message. And you heard something, and God is calling your name, you got to say, yes, Lord. Okay? Just bow your head for a minute. Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Can't do it on my own. I tried. I failed. Today I want to establish a foundation in my life. And that foundation I recognize, it is Jesus Christ. Lord, I come to you. Forgive my sin. Take me into your kingdom. Amen. So easy. To come into the kingdom of God. All you have to say is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, we couldn't have made it more simple if we would have wrote the book. Not right? There would be some clause there or something somewhere. So are you ready to rock? That means you're going to have to go pick up your kids. You can give them another 5-10 minutes. We're going to open the cafe if you want. Just spend some time, talk to us. You need prayer, my wife and Pastor Travis are here, and we'll just pray for you, or Neil and Mark, if you've got a big crowd, you can come, whatever. Okay, the rest of you, be blessed, and study the kingdom of God, because it is part of your life, that you want it or not.